Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody can sing this song.
This song is called Tarzan Boy. Did you play this specifically because Rhonda Gadsden used to own a monkey?
You know.
Malik.
That was my man.
The Super Bowl champion monkey.
Still get questions about Malik.
People, like, Rhonda Gadsden's been coming on the radio with us for years, and he's been a ubiquitous figure around South Florida since his Dolphins playing days, and ever since he revealed to us about a year ago that he bought a monkey after winning the Super Bowl with the Cowboys and named the monkey Malik, and then lost it for a couple hours and found it shivering in the refrigerator. I get more questions about Aronde and the monkey than anything that we've done on this show. That is a something that immediately went into show lore.
I get a weekly Malik question. I really do.
He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Former Dolphins receiver, Aronde Gadsden. He's a coach at American Heritage. You're already coaching again. Your team, right? Your team is practicing or?
Yeah, we getting ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually played Heritage in a 7-on-7 yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Well, I was at work. It was at 4 o'clock. But yeah, we getting into it.
Did you guys hold your own?
I believe so. I saw the film.
Aronde Gadsden, a legendary OG. He is with us. What's up, Aronde?
We did a friendly. That's what a – hello, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah, here. Yeah. What's up, Aronde?
Hey, we did a friendly yesterday. That's what we did, a friendly.
Oh, in soccer parlance. And how did the friendly work out for Heritage?
It went all right. You know, we both have friends on both of mutual friends, Tanning and myself, with Arturo Freeman and Pat Surtain and Nyan Perry and Anthony Harris. There's a lot of Dolphins between those two schools. So we had a good time. I think it was more competitive for the coaches than the kids, to be quite honest.
It's about, what has it been, 10? There's probably 10 of us out there, ex-Dolphins that coach at the two schools.
But will you guys play in a regular season matchup?
No, we're different.
No, we don't. We're different divisions, districts, you know.
The way that you say that, Aronde, leads me to believe you're in a more prestigious arena.
You go do that.
The way, he said it.
I wouldn't say that. I just said we're in a bigger division. We're 5A. What are y'all, like, A and a half? What's your division?
We're three. But no. It goes off school size. It doesn't have nothing to do with the team. It goes off amount of students in the school, and we have a smaller student base.
Sounds like a dad explaining to his kids, it's not the size of our house, you see. It is the love that we have within these four walls.
Right.
I told my son that last week.
Let's jump into some NFL talk with Aronde because training camp opens next week. And the Cowboys, who you won your Super Bowl ring with, Dak Prescott, there's been a lot of talk about it. We had Michael Irvin on yesterday. We replayed it earlier today. Dak Prescott, is he worth breaking the bank for, in your opinion? Because he's going to get at least $30 million a season, at least $100 million guaranteed, probably more than that. Is he worth it, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing about, you know, quarterbacks, you know, when they go around, even when we talked about Tannehill, there's not a lot of them coming out, like, that you can, like, bet the farm on. I liken it to when they paid the red wagon, whatever the guy's name is in Cincinnati.
Dalton.
Dalton. Remember, they gave Dalton a lot of money. Well,
I wasn't listening. You said the red wagon?
No one's ever called him the red wagon, OG.
Okay, the red rifle.
The red wagon.
So, I just don't know who else they would get. You know what I mean? Like, you heard John Elway say it about all the quarterbacks he's been trying to champion since Peyton Manning left.
Right, Trevor
Siemian. Shake as many trees.
Yeah,
you shake as many trees as you want. There's just not a lot of quarterbacks coming. And if you think that's your guy, you got to pay your guy and stick with him. Now, you know, if you start in a franchise and we at the park and I got the first pick at the park, would I pick Dak Prescott first? Probably not. But, you know, that's what Dallas got, and that's, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to stick with at this time.
And we had Michael Irvin on, OG. I asked him because it was the three horsemen, whatever they called them, with Aikman,
Amigos, right.
The three amigos. Yeah, them, Aikman, Irvin, and Emmitt. And I asked Irvin flat out. I said, if Emmitt's not on that team, how many championships do y'all win? And he says zero. Is the game changing? Because it just seems like the
– You said if Emmitt's not on that team.
If Emmitt's not on the team, do y'all win any championships? And Mike said they would won zero if Emmitt wasn't on the team. Why was it like that back in the day? And nowadays it seems like running backs, they treat them like they're backup guards.
Well, I think, you know, back in the day you definitely did have – a one running back system, and you know, you would build through the running back. I mean, and I think now, since you got 2-3 running back systems, and you know, the Patriots probably have mastered the 3 running back system, 2 running back system, I think you don't give the guy. I think we may have had the last one here, the last of Mohicans, when we ran Ricky, you know, 797 times in one game when Dave Wannstedt was coach.
As an estimate, or is that the actual number?
I think it's an estimate, but, you know, close. I just rounded it up. So I think you just don't do that anymore. And I agree totally with Mike. I sat there, me and Malik, thank Emmitt Smith, you know, at least once a week, us getting us to the Super Bowl. But, I think you just don't do it anymore. You got to have at least 2 running backs. But if you got a good one, you give them carries. And, you know, they're trying to – I guess that's the blueprint there in Dallas, to have the three-headed monster, the three amigos. And, you know, this year would probably be Dak, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott. And they'd have to pay him. They'd have to pay Ezekiel at least. You know, nothing works these days if you can't play action. And the play action, you know, you just don't get respected if you're not faking the ball to Zeke. If you're faking the ball to Albert Morris, or I don't know who the other running back there may be, but if you're faking to somebody else besides Zeke, the linebackers just drop like a 7-on-7. So it's kind of tough. He is one of those guys that you can give the ball 20, 22 times to and get a effective result. So I think, you know, you look at that and you look at what's going on with Melvin Gordon, you know, it's kind of tough not to pay that guy. But I think he got 3 years left on the contract, which is going to be kind of tough.
Aronde Gadsden is with us. We were talking about the Dolphins yesterday and expectations. And Vegas, they've got their over-under win total for the season at 4.5, which is epically low. So we know they're not going to be good. And I think everybody understands that. But do you think, we were talking yesterday, are they going to be truly awful, like Crowder's 1-15 team, which was an awful team? It was, they had a bad head coach. It was just, it was an awful season.
No quarterbacks, just a tough team.
Or do you think they might be able to hang in some games?
Yeah, I had a team. I'm going to take the over on that.
You take the over on 4.5?
I'm going to take the over on 4.5. And by the way, as we talking about Vegas, Crowder, you owe me $37.50. I know you know nothing about it, but it was just, you know, the end of last year, and we had been talking, and you had one of your guys on that, you know, helps you lay money on the wood.
Rob Pizzola, probably.
Yeah, Rob Pizzola, and Channing, you agree with him, and I listened to you, and you tricked me. The CFL first game, I think the over was 53.5.
Oh, we had that bet too. We had that bet. It was an awful bet.
It was an awful bet, man. I put $37.50 on this, so you owe me that, Crowder. I listen to y'all. I listen to you. I wouldn't listen to Rob Pizzola, but like, Channing might have done some research. He said they play awful in the first game. No, not much offense going to be scored. Man, oh, they got like 50 in the third quarter. Like, they were terrible.
I watched that game. It was brutal. Yeah, they did have like 50 in the first quarter.
But OG, I was in there with you, baby. All our money was riding together.
Who bets 37-50?
Yeah, I did because I had a parlay going and it just like the 37-50. But Shaddy owe me that. So next time I see you out, three Tito tonics and three lines will be good.
I got you, baby.
We squashed the rest of it. The change, the 750, we just squashed that.
What
but
about
anyway,
sticking in the NFL? Ronde Gadsden is with us. One of the teams. Yeah, go ahead.
I know we were talking about the Dolphins, and I'm taking the over. Will it be awful? Probably not. They'll be decent. I mean, we'll win the games and lose the games the same way we've been losing them for the last few years. And this is the learning curve the new coach and new system and new players going to have to go through. But, you know, like last few years, we'd lose the game in Detroit. And, we lose the game like last year in Cincinnati. We up 17-0. Like, you know, that can't happen. That just can't happen. So I foresee us doing the same thing. But we'll win games that we shouldn't win, you know. So, you know, I'll be at the game and watch all home games, you know, from the stadium live. Not much of them, but I'll watch them.
And, OG, I was saying yesterday that there are respectable losses, and I think the text line got on me. Some people tweeted me, but there are respectable losses, right?
Yes, they are respectable losses. Still losses nonetheless, but they're respectable losses. They're losses you can learn from, grow from as a team, come back and try not to make those mistakes or whatever caused you to lose a game. You know, you and I know it's a fine line. You know, those who don't play sometimes don't know the backstory, what goes on during the week or what happens when you get out there. But, you know, the regular things are going to, you know, rear the ugly head, sacks, turnovers, you know, long third downs, you know, they don't stop people on third and long. Things like that always raise his ugly head, especially when you got a young team and team who hadn't been together. So it's going to be tough. You know, the quarterback situation is going to play a big part in it as well. So we just, you know, it's like college. We change coaches like college. So we got to – that's the freshman year, the kids that they brought in. So hopefully by the senior year, the kids that we brought in, they'll be good.
When Dolphins training camp opens next week, Aronde, I'm sure Ryan Fitzpatrick will be taking the snaps with the starters. When it comes down to game one regular season, who would you prefer to be out there as the starting quarterback? Right now, without having seen either of them in training camp, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen?
Probably Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I don't want to be unfair to Josh Rosen. Hadn't really seen him since UCLA. I didn't watch him in Arizona, to be quite honest. But I know he, you know, everybody plays good in a different system. You know, it may not be his system, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he's a vet, because he knows how to handle the locker room and command the huddle, will probably get the best results early on. Now, you know, according to his conditioning, you know, how he is out there on the field and how he takes hits. You know, he's a gunslinger, so he's not going to change that. When he gets a chance to throw the ball, he's going to throw the ball. And if we are behind, like we, you know, most of us figure they'll be a lot of the time, well, that plays right into his wheelhouse. He wants to throw it. He's going to throw it. And we'll see how it works out. You know, I think, you know, we'll have to see how Josh Rosen goes and you know, go from there. I hope Josh Rosen works out, but, you know, I'm not sure.
Hey, OG, my last one, man. How do you feel about these players, especially Keenan Allen? He's leading the charge, bitching about their Madden ratings. Bro, go work out. Go get right. What the hell you worry about your Madden rating for?
Yeah, I think we talked about that. Pat and I talked about that on the bus going to that friendly yesterday at U School because all the kids were asking, hey, you know, and Pat was saying he was a 98, and I was like, Pro, you talking about you played in 98? Oh, that was your rate. No, it isn't, it was your rate. He looked it up, and that's what was in 96. So last year with the Dolphins was 96. I think my best one was 77. But who cares about Madden rating? Nobody cares about that.
Says the guy with the 77.
You're right. Says the guy with the 77. I think Keenan Allen may have a point. Like, I think he might have been – he might have done a disservice to him with the route running and the catching. I think he's much better than numbers say. But, you know, the guys who make the games don't play football. So, you know, we just have to go with that and work it out. But it does show how much credence that we put into Madden. And Madden's been out for so long, and it's been so good to everybody that people do care about their rating. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what your best numbers were, Channing, when you played.
I'm right there around you, OG. I believe Solana looked
okay,
him up.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
We in those high 70s, low 80s.
Okay. Yeah. Mine was 77, so it's no 80s. But all right, we'll go with that.
Ronda Gadsden, wait till you see these new studios that we're in, OG. I don't know if you knew that we moved, but wait till you see this place.
No. Where is it exactly? Can you tell me?
We're in Little Haiti, Lemon City, El
River.
Portal,
Lemon.
Little River.
Okay,
it's the Citadel building. So we do the show. We're on the second floor. The first floor is a giant food hall, and the roof is a rooftop bar. I'm telling you, OG, you're gonna want to get yourself back into radio,
the
man.
The Tito's in line,
there you
bro.
Go. We're gonna have to do an in studio.
Yes.
Next time we talk, we have to do an in studio. Give me some time here. Maybe I can slip away from practice or get down there before practice really starts. But that's a little drive. You got to get me down there and back before traffic. So that means, you know, early.
Ronde's like talking to the guy at the deli in Boca. Like, think about, like, this is a conversation I would have with Mel at 2J's on Glades Road. You know, I got to get there early because traffic. You got to get me in and out. And I don't care if I miss the end of the movie. I don't want to be stuck with everyone leaving the theater at the same time.
Right.
So Ronda Gadsden, we're talking with guys celebrating OG in the end zone. I mean, this guy is worried about out on traffic.
Listen, I saw the mule. I can tell you how the mule, the movie ended. He gets caught. I can tell you, so I can leave a little early. Like, you know, you can have your matzo ball soup. It's good at 2J's. I can tell you that. You can have that.
Oh, goodness. All right, Ronda. Thanks for making time,
you know.
Man. All right,
hey, man, no problem. Next time we'll do an in-studio.
No doubt.
And you owe me that $37.50. And next time we at 2J's, give me one of those black and white cookies.
Oh, those black and white cookies are the best. The best. Ronde has been to 2J's. That's what they're known for. Good for you. See you, OG.
Hey, come on. All right, later.
He's a man of the people. Ronde Gadsden, he is a man of the people. I think he called your school a and a half.
I'm going to have to give it OG. You got to see me on that one.
All right. Ronde did not disappoint. He never does. Brian Geltzeiler, who you hear on Sirius XM NBA Radio, and you see him on NBA TV, he's scheduled to join us at 5 o'clock. Solana does have Crowder's official Madden ratings. We'll tell you what it is when we come back.
Radio.com.
The what?
The noise. Oh, we had Tarzan last time.
Oh, I gotcha. Walk like an Egyptian? I thought you said the Noid song, and I thought maybe they used this in a Domino's commercial. You know, avoid the Noid.
You showing your age, man.
You don't remember Avoid the Noid?
I was young. Little weird-looking guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Avoid the Noid.
I forgot the Domino's jingle from my childhood days.
Never have a jingle?
Or like the...
Slogan?
The slogan, the marketing tool. It wasn't the Noid.
Avoid the Noid. There were some of those that were just like... They just picked up and became like a cultural phenomenon. You remember the Was Up guys for Budweiser?
The frogs.
Remember Taco Bell had the Chihuahua?
Yeah, Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
And wasn't there a...
you know who didn't learn from all those other people? Like the Chihuahua's gone. The Noid's gone. That damn Little Caesar still has the little pizza guy that slam his spear and the pizza's flip.
Well, it's Caesar. I mean, you can't get rid of Caesar, but Little Caesar. Although, you know what?
Coach it a different way.
You can get a little away from that because remember, McDonald's used to have Ronald McDonald all over. They do not use Ronald McDonald for advertising anymore, for like personal appearances and whatnot.
The only place I see Ronald McDonald is at the McDonald's All-American game. There's always a Ronald McDonald sitting in the stands. But I don't know if McDonald's sends him there or if it's a fan that just shows up. But there's always a Ronald in the stands.
Because they used to have old cast of characters. Do you remember the Hamburglar and the Grimace?
Yes.
Mayor McCheese?
Yeah.
Like, there was a whole cast of characters.
Grimace was high.
Burger King, remember him for a while? Burger King was using the Burger King.
Big shiny head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Noid. You don't remember the Noid, Solana, do you?
The what?
The Noid. Avoid the Noid.
No.
Yeah. On this day, by the way, before we get to Crowder's Madden rating, on this day in 1992, Whitney Houston married Bobby Brown.
Worst decision of her life.
That was one of the most shocking celebrity marriages of all time.
Opposites attract.
Because Whitney was thought of, now I don't know if this actually was the truth, she was thought of as... the classy princess songstress. Bobby Brown was crazy dude from New Edition.
Grabbing his crotch.
Yeah.
Always talking about sex. Yeah.
Now, we know more about Whitney now than we did back then, but that was a shocking celebrity union, wasn't that?
It was, really. And like you're saying, I said opposites attract. They're not opposites. We just...
Well, they may be opposites, but it may be the roles
were reversed.
Were reversed.
Or you, like they say, you know, you hang around people and it brings out the worst side of you.
Or you find out what you really like.
Yes. So maybe Whitney didn't have that available to
her. Like you didn't know you were a gambler till you started hanging out with me.
You're my Bobby Brown. You're my Bobby Brown.
That's my prerogative. All right, Solana? You don't know. Today, Bam Adebayo turns 22 years old.
That's crazy.
Vin Diesel turns 52 years old.
He's still a tough guy.
Vin Diesel, still a tough guy. Who else? Joe Torre, old Yankees manager, 79 years old. Aronde Gadsden, he was talking about, and you were asking him about, you know, players being concerned about their Madden ratings and whatnot, and that's a very millennial thing. I bet there was something that you were interested in that the old school players were like, why are you wasting your time with that?
It's funny, because I'll say it, when I was coming up, it was all about getting paid. Like, hey, man, you're at 98 or 88 on Madden. Like, you're an all-pro. Hey, Peasy, you're at 88 on Madden. I got $100 million in the bank. Like, that was everybody's thing was getting paid. I don't know if it's now where the salaries are higher, because when I got in the league minimum was – what was it, 220 maybe, something like that? Now league minimum 600.
Right, so you don't have to worry.
So I don't know if the money's so high, but now they're concerned with the dumbest stuff, my Madden rating. If I get that check, I don't give a damn what John Madden says about
me. But it's not just Madden ratings. Like, honestly, the fashion before NBA games, that is, I would say, you would have to acknowledge, NBA players put some thought into what they are wearing to a game and what they'll be wearing at the post-game press conference.
Yes.
Like, there's legit thought put into that. That was never the case. In fact, one of the first guys that it was a case for is a guest that we had on, Spencer Haywood. Remember Spencer Haywood? And he was telling us, yeah, he used to be married to Iman, the model, and he was one of the first athletes that was ever interested in fashion. But now you're the weird guy if you're not interested in fashion, right?
It was funny, and that's not, I act like I'm 70 years old. I'm 35. I've been out the game 8 years. There were two guys on every team that cared about their suit going onto a plane.
Right. Now there's two guys that don't.
That don't. Everybody, like people, you were trying to cut the corner. You were trying to leave your tie just on enough that the coach wouldn't yell at you. Now they have $3,000-$4,000 suits on. They have some damn red bottom shoes that are a couple grand to walk on a plane with 70 men, $2,000 shoes to walk on a plane with 70 men. I didn't understand it.
I remember when David Stern instituted a dress code for the NBA. Remember players used to sit on the bench in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt?
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Oh, my God. It's a draconian rule. They've got to get dressed up now. I mean, who's the – is it Kawhi? Is that the only guy that doesn't care about fashion? I don't think Kawhi dresses. Like, he's a sweatpants kind of guy.
I think it's more – I think he's the most famous guy that doesn't care.
There's some other guys?
There's a bunch of guys that don't care.
Well, what is Crowder's Madden rating? You researched it, Solana.
So, where do you want to start here? You want to start your last season in the league or your first season in the league?
Go my first, because I remember I was a 90-plus in college, and I got to the league, and it was lower, and I was like, how the hell did I get that
bad? So, your first season was 2006. 2005.
Right, but it's Madden 06.
Right, okay.
I got you. Yes,
so, you were as a rookie, you were a 73.
73, huh?
I was an All-American. That's what was so surprising to me.
You dropped like a rock in the draft, and it was reflected in your Madden ratings.
You still got to look at the film. I and the sky don't lie. Did I get any better?
Yeah, in 07, you were an 83.
Oh, there's a 10-point leap, man.
Game-recognized game. I don't know what that means.
I didn't want to say anything, but I don't think that was the right area to use that.
I know what it means. It was the wrong time to use it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what they say.
Right. If life gives you lemons, move to Lemon City. So he started with a 73, jumped up to an 83 his second season. Third season Madden rating?
Third and fourth, so 08, 09. That's right in between the playoff season. You were an 85 both of those years.
Ooh.
All right, so you jumped. You jumped from your rookie season, 10 points, then another 2 points your third and fourth season. Madden, you're a Madden success story.
Respect my gangster. That's the right thing
to
say.
You were also one of the highest rated linebackers in Madden.
Really?
Like, what? You weren't the highest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, Ray Lewis was much better than you, no offense. But
What was his rating, though? Because it was like a 90.
Like a 99.
Oh, okay, yeah, he was a lot better.
Yeah, but
he is a lot
you
better.
Were still one of the top 10 rated linebackers in Madden for two
Look
years.
Look at you.
2 years.
I can run, man.
Look at you.
I was a blazer.
And then his fifth season.
Well, here comes the downfall.
You had a fall off?
2010, you're an 81, still
respectable. Oh, you're still over 80. Hey, if you're over 80, man.
A B, that's a B. I'll go with a B. Yeah.
And then your last two seasons, you were in Madden, you were a 79 and a 79 respectively. So, I mean, you never hit like the UD area where now UD and 2K is like a 68 and like they're just being respectful because really he might even be a 55.
It's funny. I retired early. Like there's some guys that you know hold out and play
there are
a year.
Bunch of people texting in right now. They cannot believe you're only 35 years old. There's because you got to think there's young people that have been listening to you on the radio for 7-8 years and they like he's only 35 years old. There's people in the NFL that are 35 years old.
And like remember Zach Thomas? Some people don't know he played for the Cowboys and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
After the Dolphins and his ratings were because he had the concussion and then he Dallas he had to gain a bunch of weight. Zach is a legit 215, 220 guy. They got him to 240. He couldn't play at 240. So those were the years that I didn't want to hit in my career. Even I could have played another 1 or 2 years successfully. I always told myself I'm not going to be the guy that jumps from 3 or 4 teams late in my career because I saw Junior do it. I saw Zach do it. Like I saw some of my guys that I loved and look up to. So I never got to the point where I wasn't starting. I never got to a point in my career where I wasn't contributing to the team. That's when you drop off into the 60s.
Right.
I ain't want to be the 60 guy.
Well, the Dolphins as a team, the Dolphins team rating is 74, which is the worst rating of any team in the game. And the next closest is the New York Giants with a 77 overall rating. And it says it wasn't just a bad overall score. Miami's offensive and defensive units also each brought in the worst ratings of any individual unit in football. Dolphins 69 rating on offense. Nice. And it's the lowest in the game. So
I would. Is there any 90s on the Dolphins?
I would be hard-pressed to think of one because
Rashad
Jones,
Xavier Howard
maybe.
Because he was an all-pro. He's the only guy that I haven't played Madden in damn a decade, but I would guess he's the only one that could break 90.
There was I remember seeing on social media, though, that there's some controversy over Xavier Howard, though. I don't know if it was on the positive or negative side. Do you know what his rating is?
I think there was, like, a list put out of the highest-rated safeties, and he wasn't – or corners, he wasn't on that list, like defensive backs.
Well, I guarantee you we're going to find out via the text machine because a lot of people take this stuff very seriously.
Yeah, look, it just came in. He's an 83, according to Madden.
Really?
All pro, and I was ranked over him?
83.
Respect my
game. So is that the highest rated Dolphin? People texted in.
I'll double check. It might be.
I can't think of someone else. Rashad Jones.
Maybe. Yeah. Laramie. People respect Laramie at left tackle.
Right. Trying to think of.
Drake. Like the star, the guys we are stars
right.
aren't league-wide stars. We just love Kenyon Drake. We love Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills.
Devontae, I know he's not up there.
Jakeem, he was injured. Yeah, no, I would imagine Xavier Howard's probably their highest rated.
Because Cam was the guy for years, and he's in Tennessee now.
Somebody says he was the 27th ranked cornerback. Is that true? 27th ranked cornerback in Madden? Man. That can't be true. That can't be true.
He's an all-pro.
We got to take a quick break. In about 20 minutes, Brian Geltziler from SiriusXM NBA Radio and NBA TV, he is going to join us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. Radio.com. Radio.com. You know, this song, Candy, and Cameo, makes me think of the new vending machines.
You have a problem.
I really am fascinated with vending machines. I was telling Whittingham is here because he's going on the air at 6 o'clock. I was telling Whittingham and you and Solana and Chili Willy during the break, I could see myself spending about $20 or $30 on these vending machines every day because they take Apple Pay. And I don't, like, I leave my wallet. I always take my wallet out of my pocket. I always leave it up here in the studio. So I don't walk around with money. I always have my phone on with me. And so we go to a commercial break. I may take a lap around the building or whatever. You get to those vending machines, all you have to do is hold your phone up and you pay for something. It's how they get you in casinos.
Yep.
Because you don't play with cash. They don't allow you to play with cash. Back in the day when I used to first go to Vegas in the late 80s, early 90s, you could say cash plays. You could go to a table and sit down and say cash plays, and you could actually play with cash, and they don't allow that anymore. But the reason casinos don't take cash and make you play with chips, you don't feel like you're playing with money.
No.
Like, they're just little chips. They're not. Like, you lose the value of it because I'll sit there and bet $25 a hand on something, $50 a hand on something. If you told me to pull $50 bills out of my wallet and keep putting one down and they keep taking it, I'd probably be more apt to stop. These vending machines are going to kill me because they accept Apple Pay.
And the chips are colorful and cute. It's like just fun.
Yeah, you feel like you're having fun. You forget that you're losing money.
Oh, two pinks? Yeah, two. Yeah, it's $100 damn dollars, but it's two pinks.
You know, that's a funny thing, too. Like, they don't even call them oftentimes by the denomination of money.
No.
You want some greens? You want greens, reds, you want blacks? Like, yeah, they'll call it by the color, and it really, that, I mean, casinos, it devalues the money that you're losing. And then they do it in this fashion that is just so much fun.
And how can we talk about this logically like we are? And then go and throw the money up there and get these chips and be happy to do it.
Well, it's illogical. You're exactly right. It's illogical.
Because I say I hate it, and every time we go to Vegas, I'm sitting right next to you. Come on, 34.
Speaking of money, I started the show today, and if you weren't listening, I will let you know the story that I just found staggering. It's interesting. It is. I'm not. It's not negative in any way. It's just staggering. Stephen Ross, the owner of your Miami Dolphins, has listed his Manhattan apartment that he shares with his wife, a penthouse. You can call it just an apartment. It's like calling a yacht a boat. Like,
it's not an apartment, penthouse. Yes.
He has listed his penthouse for sale for $75 million. That's a residence. That's not the building. That's just his apartment. It is listed for sale, according to the Wall Street Journal, for $75 million.
Does that make you look at him differently?
But
we know he's a billionaire.
Right.
But that story when you read it earlier, it clicked in my mind a little bit.
There are some billionaires that are a little more in your face. Jerry Jones strikes me as a guy that you would never forget he's a billionaire. right?
They're not going to let you do it.
There's certain guys that won't let you forget that they're billionaires.
Was it Warren Buffett still lives in his house, his $100,000 house or whatever?
It was $100,000 in like 1968 when he bought it. Yeah. Like he still lives in that house. But yeah, Stephen Ross, I don't ever, like, I know he's a billionaire because he spent over $1 billion for the Dolphins.
Like, I know, and they keep track. He's one of the richest owners in the league.
Yes.
So, like, you can look it up and it keeps track.
But that number, because we've all either owned, bought, or sold property, and so when you talk about, you know, even the expensive of the expensive, like, you, I mean, $75 million for a penthouse is just a jaw-dropping number.
I've been around Stephen Ross. He's not the flashy guy. No jewelry. No even, you know, even like the watches and all that. You know, you can always look at the watches. See, you don't need diamonds. Them old white dudes, they don't do diamonds. But they'll have them expensive ass.
$80,000-$90,000 watch
just,
on.
I don't even see that out of just all the regular stuff, the little boat shoe loafers. This made me, okay, Ross, I see where you
like,
hide
do you
your
think
money
he at. Ever says... Obviously, if he's selling his apartment for $75 million, that's not, like, I mean, that's nothing. Like, if you're, you know what I mean? Like, you're never, like, if you have a $75 million apartment, and I'm sure he's got more than one residence.
Does he negotiate with the, like, do you negotiate at that level?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I sold my house for $320, I think, the last house I lived in. It was at $325. They got me to $320. Like, would he barter down to $74.5 million?
Right,
like,
$500,000.
But at that level, does $500,000 mean that much?
I wonder if the real estate agent gets 3%.
Hell no.
No.
No, my wife sold some, not $75 million houses,
but super exclusive properties, and you have to take a lesser percentage.
Yeah, she sold 7-figure properties, and you take a lesser. Because they, you do the math on it now.
Right, no. I mean, you could make a career out of selling that one apartment.
Yeah.
But you wonder, like, does Stephen Ross, like, you think he ever says to his wife, she's like, what do you want to do for dinner? And he's like, I don't know, let's go to Applebee's.
No.
You don't think ever?
Hawk, he owns steakhouses.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, like, normal humans, like, every now and then, you want some Chick-fil-A.
Not him.
Never wants Chick, like, doesn't want waffle fries.
Yeah, he'll have his personal chef make waffle
fries.
No,
I understand that he can have something made. I'm saying... Hey, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? He lives in Manhattan. Let's walk down to the corner and we'll get some Chick-fil-A.
When he's with Arthur Blank and they're walking around the stadium his friend owns and they go past Chick-fil-A, they'll give it a fry or two.
But you don't think he would ever say to his wife, like, hey, let's go to Applebee's or let's go to Outback. I'm in the mood for an awesome blossom.
Awesome blossom.
Awesome blossom.
$75 million apartment.
But no, wait,
with
so
an
you,
awesome blossom.
But what, so what you're saying is you become less human?
No, you love awesome blossoms. You've been eating them since you were a kid. It means something to you. Awesome blossom is nothing to him. Awesome blossom's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Bro, I told you the story. We went.
Well, do you think he has a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Hell no. We went to a steakhouse, and we went to say thank you for buying us dinner, Mr. Ross. But then on the way, somebody tells us this is his steakhouse. Wow, he owns his steakhouse. It's a nice ass steakhouse in New York. When we get to him to say thank you for bringing us to your steakhouse, we have to adjust it again when he tells us, no, I own the building and everything in it. Like, he's at a level, he's at an unhuman level, to answer your question.
So you're saying you lose some humanity. When you have that many billions, you lose some humanity. The parts like... every now and then I'll be craving a McDonald's milkshake. Yes. It's 9 o'clock at night. My kid wants French fries. And I'll go, all right, I'll go over to McDonald's with you because I can get a vanilla shake.
You're craving it because you've had it recently and you know what it tastes like. He craves mermaid hamstring.
You can eat mermaid hamstring?
That's what he craves. That's what rich people crave.
I don't know if you're right on this.
No, man.
I honestly don't know if you're right on this.
He owns a 5-star steakhouse. He wants an Outback. What do you want? Some
awesome blossom.
The little tips, the little rib tips.
A loaded potato at Applebee's. Nothing.
No.
Nothing like that.
No,
I don't think I agree with you on that.
Isn't the fact that he doesn't, you know, stunt the $80,000 watch, he wears the little loafers.
Right.
Like it
that
maybe,
would leave like Jerry like
Jones
here's the thing.
Only
here's the thing, and I may date myself by using Wayne Newton as a reference, but I don't think Wayne Newton ever wants Chick-fil-A waffle fries, because Wayne Newton, he lives in a mansion in Vegas. I forget what it's called. It's got an actual name like Graceland or whatever. But Wayne Newton, to me, he's at this level where he's always got the bracelets and the fancy clothes and whatever. The fact that he doesn't wear that would lead me to believe that Stephen Ross might want some Chick-fil-A every now and then. It might walk in like a regular person and say, I'll take the whatever. Look at the Whittingham needs to weigh in.
Well, I just have Wayne Newton's Casa de Shenandoah.
Oh, Shenandoah. You are correct. Look at that. Now, did you know off the top of your head?
No, I Googled it.
Oh, all right.
And Wayne Newton's Spanish?
Wayne Newton is not Spanish,
so
no.
So why does he call it Casa de...
I think maybe just Whittingham called it that.
Oh, okay.
No, is it called Casa de Shenandoah, or is it just called Shenandoah?
I Googled Wayne Newton name of house, and it says, there's a YouTube video, Wayne Newton's Casa de Shenandoah.
Can you look and see how old Wayne Newton is, by the way? The only reason I brought up Wayne Newton is I was watching Match Game last night, and Wayne Newton was one of the panelists. And this dude, when I tell you his skin is pulled so tight, and I feel like he's in his 80s, how old is Wayne Newton? Do we have an answer?
He's 77. I actually saw him in concert like 2 years ago.
You did?
Of course you did. So he was the he was the warm-up for the Killers. The Killers did a show in Vegas.
Really?
It was the first ever show that they did at that new arena that they have there.
And Wayne Newton was the opener.
He was the warm-up, yeah.
And did he do Donker Shane?
Of course.
Donker Shane.
How old are you, Chris?
I knew the music.
He also is 77. Brian Geltzeiler, we're going to talk some NBA after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.